From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The first juror was chosen this week in the trial of Derek Chauvin, the white Minneapolis police officer charged with killing George Floyd last year in a videotaped incident that sparked global outrage. Chauvin faces charges that include second-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. Although his culpability for Floyd's killing was so clear-cut as to spur a mass movement, given the American state's bias in favor of law enforcement, justice is not guaranteed. In fact, it's less than likely. The city of Minneapolis has poured resources into security fencing and the National Guard in anticipation of public anger at the trial's outcome. Black Lives Matter protesters continue to march in the streets with signs saying the whole world is watching. We go now to Minneapolis to speak with independent journalist and photographer King Demetrius Pendleton. He's been covering the trial of Derek Chauvin and the protests on the streets outside. Welcome to the program, King Demetrius.
Thank you for having me.
So first, tell me about what has been happening just this past week alone before we look at some of the broader issues. In spite of the pandemic, from your beautiful photography, I see that there are still lots of people in the streets of Minneapolis as the trial is commencing. Over the weekend, there were marches, and they continued this week as well?
Yes, truly, it does. What I have been seeing is a lot of gut-wrenching protesting, but these has been basically a lot of peaceful protesting. A lot of people has been coming out here, boots on the ground, exercising their First Amendment and using their First Amendment to peacefully protest in a rightful manner. We have been seeing Minneapolis, Minnesota spend like $3.5 million of barricading Minneapolis downtown using razor wire, barbed wire, and also concrete barriers. They have also put like around 12-foot gates up to make sure no one damaged the property. So what a nation of people, and especially Minneapolis, Minnesota, also St. Paul, has basically been seeing, they have always chose property over people.
Tell me about the protests that took place over the weekend where people marched with a symbolic white coffin of George Floyd.
Oh, that was one of the most peaceful protesters gathering that I have went to. Dr. Nakima Levy Armstrong, which is a civil rights attorney as well. And she is now out here boots on the ground and working closely with activists. She is an amazing individual, her and her husband. They also decided to do a peaceful protest. There was no chanting at all. It was just people just marching in the streets. There were some songs being played, such as Billie Holiday, Strange Fruits, Nina Simone, differing religion songs as well. And you can feel the tension. You can feel the stress that a nation of people have been going through through those songs. And not only that, Dr. Nakima Levy Armstrong has also read off around 400 names of people who have been killed by the Minneapolis police and St. Paul police right here in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
So, that's a really important point. In Minneapolis, it's not just about George Floyd. Just as every city in America has the names of its own victims, there are others besides George Floyd in Minneapolis as well. Give me a brief sense of who these victims are and how their names have also been raised at the protests and linked to George Floyd's killing, because this is not just about one person's killing, right? It's about a trend of killings.
Exactly. I'm glad that you made that statement about it was not just about one individual. This is about a nation of people. What we have been seeing in Minneapolis, Minnesota, also in St. Paul, we've seen the gut-wrenching video of Philando Castile when he was tragically gunned down in his vehicle. He had license to conceal and carry when he told the police officer, Yonandez, that he had a weapon. He was in the vehicle with his significant other at the time, also a 4-year-old baby or a 5-year-old baby at the time. The police discharged his firearm, striking him 4 or 5 times, killing him expeditiously. And this police officer got off. We also hear about Fong Lee. Fong Lee was an individual who was gunned down as well, who was having mental illness issues. We also heard about Marcus Golden, Terrence Franklin. He was gunned down in a basement. And what we hear about this, allegedly, it was some friendly firing that was going on. So it must have been something like the police officer discharged his firearm, hitting his partner allegedly. And then it was just a round of bullets. And next thing you know, Terrence Franklin is dead. And they tried to come back 6 months later and say they found the gun up under a porch after the snow had melted, which is totally tomfoolery. We also have to know about Marcus Golden. Marcus Golden was gunned down in the vehicle as well. If there has been a nation of people has been killed. Cordell Handy was another individual who was killed as well. Any individual that may have a gun or may have some type of traffic violation or something like that, or tail light out, they are being judged, jury, and executed by police officers, not just in Minneapolis and St. Paul, but all over the world.
And of course, we know that in Rochester, New York, the people responsible for the killing of Daniel Prude were not charged. In fact, just this week, Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, who was criminalized, was charged with, I'm not sure exactly what charges, but for basically, I believe he had a firearm and was responding in self-defense when police officers walked into his and her into Breonna Taylor's apartment. Charges were finally permanently dropped. I imagine, barely ending a nightmare that has been for him over the past year since her killing. So we see this as a trend all around the country, but it was George Floyd's killing in particular in Minneapolis that sparked this movement that was a new chapter in the Black Lives Matter movement and even spread all over the world, right? We saw images of George Floyd in different countries, people, in France and Britain and elsewhere marching with his image in their hands, and you've been at the center of this throughout this past year. What have you seen in, how have you sort of seen the outside world responding to the killing of George Floyd? How have you viewed that?
It has been very gut-wrenching, and also it has been a lot of tomfoolery accusations by the white supremacists or whatever you may want to call them. But during May the 25th of 2020, what we have seen was a gut-wrenching experience of George Floyd being basically murdered live feed. And what made this case, or should I say incident, so discombobulating was it was during a pandemic. So the whole world had stopped. No one was doing anything. Everybody was masked up. A lot of people were staying at home. A lot of people were bored on their computers. You have a lot of computer people out here. So once they seen that, and not only it was a pandemic on top of a pandemic, but once they witnessed what had happened to George Floyd, a nation of people came outside. They was already wanted to come outside because they was stuck in the house because of the pandemic, but it wasn't about the pandemic no more. What I heard from witnesses and people that I questioned, they said the real pandemic is really racism that's right here in America, and nothing is being done about it.
What are your prospects for this trial of Derek Chauvin? One of the challenges, and this is the way our justice system is based, is that they're looking for jurors who haven't yet formed an opinion, except that the whole world saw that video of George Floyd being killed, and it became such a high-profile issue that it was not really, something that one could escape in terms of missing the news coverage. So they're looking for jurors who didn't see the videotape, who didn't form an opinion of Black Lives Matter or police. And of course, if you have any opinion that's negative toward police, you're automatically disqualified, or maybe even positive toward Black Lives Matter, you're automatically disqualified. So they're going to have a challenge finding jurors. They call them, the system will call them impartial jurors, but really, when you're looking at the life of a Black person, you really have to wonder if those standards then disqualify the truly impartial jurors, or it seems set up so that Derek Chauvin is going to be exonerated.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that. I feel that it's flapdoodle for them to even mimic, to even say something of that nature, that no one's seen this footage of what happened to George Floyd. The world is watching. Whenever you see or whenever you hear a young child that's 5 years old say, "My daddy changed the world," okay, anybody
That's George Floyd's daughter. Yeah.
exactly. That comment alone just sends chills to a nation of people body. Now, what they're basically probably looking for, they're probably looking for a juror who's not going to be on their side, if you say, or on Black Lives Matter side, if you say. So this trial is not about Derek Chauvin, just so we clear. This is about a Black man being lynched and seeing if a Black man can get any justice, if you will, out of this case, because we've seen and we witnessed, and the world have witnessed what happened to Orlando Castile. A lot of people was expecting St. Paul to do the right thing, but it never happened. People was basically waiting, begging, pleading for them to do the right thing, and what they did was basically show people that they wasn't going to do the right thing. So when this happened with George Floyd, people was already on eggshells, if you will. And not only just that, to mention the individual that was in the White House who was spurring his rhetoric throughout the whole world, racial tactics and what have they, and not want to denounce the Proud Boys or the KKKs, and it made it okay for some people to be racism, we or to be racist. It made them take their blankets off, made them take their hoods off, and just say, "Hey, I can run a person over and get away with it. I can shoot a person and get away with it." The difference between the George Floyd case and the case with Philando Castile is basically the whole world decided, like, we're not going to take this anymore. We gave you all a pass with the Philando Castile. And not only that, Dr. Nakimi Levy-Armstrong was basically talking to the mayor that's right here in Minneapolis,
Jacob
Minnesota,
Frey, yeah.
Mayor Jacob Frey, indicating to him that, hey, you guys, and also the city councils that was here as well, letting them know, "Hey, you guys really need to sit down and have some training with these police officers," because a lot of police officers that's right here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and St. Paul don't live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, or St. Paul. They stay a half an hour out or something like that. So they coming to a town that they don't even live in and terrorizing our community. So what I'm seeing with the George Floyd incident, a lot of people have been waiting. And when they went to Target, because I documented this, when they went to Target, because the police had got a raid, they start shooting rubber bullets, spraying everybody with the mace and everything of that nature. And people was trying to go to Target to get milk, and Target wouldn't even sell them any milk. So when they wouldn't sell them any milk, next thing what you could do, they had the money. They wasn't trying to steal the milk. They was trying to purchase the milk. And next thing you know, the just riot just took off. And Dr. Martin Luther King said, once you see a riot occur, that was all the voices of the unheard. So a lot of people felt their voices wasn't being heard, and it just hurt a nation of people. And just so we clear, there wasn't African American people burning down Minneapolis. No, there was a lot of right-wing people that came here dressed in fatigued outfits and knew how to burn things down. And they was burning down things that was important in our community. And a lot of people have basically said black people don't really play with fire, just so we're clear.
Let's talk about Mayor Jacob Frey. He, says that he supports Black Lives Matter movement. He showed up, to protests, and there's been talk at the city council level to defund the police in Minneapolis. Where has all of that gone? What has, because Minneapolis is not a Republican-run city. It's a city run by liberal Democrats. How do you assess the response of these local leaders to this national and international story that's unfolding in the city?
Well, I think Jacob Frey has put on a big front, if you will. A lot of people would say that he put a big front on. He's very polished. He know what to say, when to say, what have they. But he's up under a lot of pressure, if you will, because he know when he came to run. As a matter of fact, he ran against Dr. Nakiva Livy Armstrong, and Dr. Nakiva Livy Armstrong. They was basically neck and neck, but they didn't want a black woman to run Minneapolis, Minnesota. And not only that, to be a first black mayor or second black mayor, basically to run Minneapolis. And not only that, the boots on the ground that Dr. Nakiva Livy Armstrong had basically had in the community with a nation of people. And she had a lot of people ear, and she was basically always speaking power to truth, and she was for the people and with the people. And what we've seen in the difference with Jacob Frey as the mayor of Minneapolis, we don't see him come out to too many gatherings. The gathering that he did come out, and they was basically asking him, is he going to defund the police? He basically came out later on and said, no, he's not going to do that. But what we've been seeing is the police run through Minneapolis or St. Paul and basically just terrorize our community in such a way. We know that we do have black on black crime, or we have crime, just to be clear, period. But
Just as
that
all
does not
communities
give,
do.
exactly, but that does not give the police to be the judge, jury, and executioner. That's what we're basically trying to get around to. Like, if you sworn to uphold and protect a community and a nation full of people, you need to treat individuals like they're your children, or they're your mother, or your father. You will need to treat people with neutral respect. We're not getting any neutral respect. And not only that, we've seen Bob Crowe, which was the union rep police officers in Minneapolis. We've seen him retire. And he had a lot of ties with Donald Trump.
Right.
And we know that was a violation as well, to stand on the stage and basically say, yeah, I stand with this man, out of
So
all his racial rhetoric.
when you see all of these resources being poured into the security and the National Guard and the police presence, are you worried that the city has basically, predicted the outcome of this case?
Yes, I'm very concerned about this matter, because as we've seen in 2017, we basically was going up against a case with Muhammad Noor, who basically shot a white woman who was from Australia. I mean, 2019, I'm sorry, stand correctly, shot a woman. And basically what wound up happening, we've seen people from Australia come here and pack the courtroom, and they have basically got a pass to do anything, if you will. And not only that, the family was awarded $20 million, okay, one of the most biggest settlements ever. And
Wow.
not only that, we also seen Muhammad Noor get 12 and a half years, and they charged him with the third degree. The third degree basically indicating that he was in disregard to any disregards of an individual life. But we know there was probably an accident. This is basically what individuals are saying, if you will. But we are seeing Minneapolis, Minnesota barricade everything, also put up $35 million of funds to basically make sure that everything is secure, also bring in the National Guard, also barbed wire, razor wire, concrete barriers, fence, and everything. We have never seen this before. Okay, this is totally flap doodle. So when we seeing things like this is something that we don't know. This is they showing us that they know something that we don't know. So we're basically looking to prepare ourselves for the worst.
Give out a way for people to financially support your work. You're an independent journalist.
Yes. They can PayPal me, Black CNN, Listen Media. Also, you can also find me on the Move for Justice News. That's another organization that I am with as well.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and good luck to
Okay.
you.
Thank you very much. All right.
My guest has been King Demetrius Pendleton, independent journalist and photographer based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, covering the trial of Derek Chauvin for the killing of George Floyd. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.